This is the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk on every team in the NHL.
You're listening to the Broadway Boys Podcast through the Hockey Podcast Network, and this is Season 5, Episode 50. And try as they might to keep collecting points to maintain their perch above the Metropolitan Division, the New York Rangers continue to suffer injuries and come up against some pretty stiff competition in their quest to make it to the postseason. Hey everybody, Andy here. I'm recording this late Wednesday night. James regrets that he could not be here with us. I want to thank him for stepping in for me last minute on our last podcast. It's obviously never fun to be like two ships passing each other in the night on this podcast, but just our schedules have both been kind of crazy recently, but looking forward to getting together and potting with him for next week. But as I had said, the New York Rangers continue to get banged up. Ryan Lindgren goes down with a, well, I guess the nature of the injury is unknown. The Rangers call it a lower body injury, but I think everyone can see it seemed to be his knee or ACL. Although the good news is it apparently is not as serious as it looked or bad as it looked. And he's only expected to miss a couple of weeks, in which at the time looked like it could have been a season-ending injury. So good news on that front. I think even on the broadcast, they were joking that, you know, it's a big deal if Ryan Lindgren doesn't make it out for the next period because just of his history of bouncing back from seemingly terrible looking injuries and then just coming out of the locker room after the trainers have worked some unspeakable black magic or Frankenstein experiments to keep whichever body part is failing him at the moment all together and in working order. So he's a warrior. Obviously, he will be missed. And he is just the most recent in a slew of unlucky injuries Rangers have experienced this year. I mean, Filip Hedl out for the year with a concussion, tries to come back, re-injures himself, done for the season. Blake Wheeler, I think that was an ACL injury. His season's over, which is heartbreaking. Jacob Trouba, their captain, currently not with the team. He's week to week with a lower body injury. They're trying not to rush him, which could maybe explain maybe some of his struggles this season, at least early on. But the Rangers, to their credit, with all these injuries and even this injury to Ryan Lindgren, they've been able to tread water. I mean, they haven't been perfect, but they have some pretty big wins against some pretty stiff competition in their last few matchups, and they've needed it because it's been a real rough stretch, or at least not in terms of their play so much, but in terms of the level of opponents they've faced recently. But I mean, since they lost two in a row to the Maple Leafs and the Panthers, which was, I think, was only one or two times it's happened all season. They basically then just railed off three straight wins against the Blues, the Devils, and the Hurricanes. They obviously lost to the Lightning, but the Lightning are on a bit of a heater right now and are beating some really good teams around the league. So, you know, it's going to happen, but then they come right back and they win two in a row against the Penguins and the New York Islanders. They obviously lose yesterday to the Winnipeg Jets in a hard-fought, but ultimately costly second period of a game, which was they made interesting and close at the end, 4-2 with scoring one with the goalie pulled. But and it continues. They have the Bruins, the Panthers, the Flyers, the Avalanche. Then they have a little bit of a respite with the Coyotes and the Penguins. But, you know, it's just, as you can see, it's a very hard schedule for the Rangers right now, and they're picking up points. But again, the Carolina Hurricanes are playing some of their best hockey of the season. Jake Guentzel looks like he's fitting right in there. I believe he's got, I forget how many points he has in his last seven games. I think he's had 9 points in his last seven games. Obviously, he's only been with, I think he's only played, four or five games now for Carolina. But he's fitting right in. I mean, they're a good team, man. I mean, they're, oh boy, since they lost to the Rangers, they've won, was it four in a row? Yeah, they have wins over the Florida Panthers, the Toronto Maple Leafs, the Senators, and the Islanders. They play the Flyers tomorrow. And their schedule coming up is definitely not as difficult as the Rangers. I mean, they have the Flyers and the Capitals, which are winnable games for them. A rematch with the Maple Leafs, which is probably a tough matchup. But, you know, then they have Pittsburgh, who is literally just in their little death spiral now that, you know, which will be Gensel's return. They have the Red Wings, who can't decide whether or not they want to make the playoffs and aren't very good, if you're asking me, and the Canadiens. So they have a pretty favorable schedule, minus the, you know, what I had mentioned about the Rangers' upcoming schedule with all the heavy hitters they have in that block. So it's possible that they can take over that top spot. But again, you can control what you can control. You can't control injuries. You can't control when your team peaks. So you just have to play out your schedule and always try to get 2 points. The good thing for the Rangers, though, is that their biggest reason for all their success this season has been the fact that their next man up mentality has really served them well. And anyone that they've elevated in the lineup or brought up from the minors or, hell, traded for has risen to the task. I mean, the additions of Roslovic and Wennberg have been just what the doctor ordered. Wennberg getting his first goal, rewarded for his string of good play since he's joined this team. He's such a smart player. He's faster than I thought he'd be, and he's also more physical, which is great. He fits that third line like a glove. So he's been stepped up huge for the Rangers recently. Zach Jones, I mean, here's a young man who essentially was stuck practicing with the team all season, stuck as the seventh defenseman, but just worked hard and waited for his chance. And it's here, and he's taken the ball, and he's run with it, and he's looked great. He's clearly an NHL defenseman in my eyes. I've always thought that. You can say what you will about his size and this and that, yada, 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 but he can be an offensive puck-moving defenseman in this league. Absolutely, 100%. He's smart. He makes heady plays. He's getting more confidence with the puck. We're seeing him take it to the, be more aggressive on his pinches and making more moves and taking it to the net more. And he's just made his life easy with simple little plays. So he's stepped up. In Jacob Trouba's absence, we've seen Braden Schneider and Keandre Miller step up, being paired together to kind of be the de facto shutdown pairing. They've looked great together, although they just got split up for the last game, which may have been the wrong decision, but we'll see. But though, yeah, the young players in this team are stepping up. Lafreniere stepped up. Kako stepped up. They're getting more contributions for players elevated lower in their lineups and from other things. I mean, obviously it's been touch and go with him, but Johnny Brodzinski has had his flashes when he's needed to this season to make it, to stick with this team. And it's just funny to look at how this team was earlier in the year with Bonino and Pitlick and just where players were slotted. And obviously, like I had mentioned, having Blake Wheeler and Hedl for, it's almost half the team's almost different now and either in different spots or just makeup wise is different. But everyone stepped up. I mean, we've obviously spoken ad nauseum about how Jonathan Quick has stepped up, and now Igor has found his game and is back. And the Rangers have been adaptable this year, and that's why they have the record they have, because there's a lot of teams that in this league that are very good, but they are only good when they have all the pieces they need to be good. You know, you see the Red Wings, they lose Dylan Larkin, and all of a sudden they're miraculous push for the playoffs falls apart. So yeah, but the Rangers, in all the credit to them, they next man up mentality, and they don't complain. And this just, I mean, it's obviously horrible that Lindgren's hurt, but now Chad Ruedel's going to get a chance to step up and in his first game against, honestly, a tough situation to step into against one of the bigger, faster teams in the league in the Winnipeg Jets, but didn't look that bad. Him and Jones together, you know, I think the Rangers played well defensively in that game, and we'll talk about how that game played out. But I thought for the most part, it was a, yeah, nothing too egregious. And I think that's the hallmark of his game, is that you don't want to notice him, because if you notice him, it's bad. But if you don't notice him, that means he's doing his job and he's just holding it down, and that's what you want. So, yeah, I guess we'll just briefly break down the loss to the Winnipeg Jets. Tough game, fun game, great pace, a lot of high tempo play in the first period and the third, I guess, for that matter. Lackluster second period for the Rangers, which kind of lost them the game. There was a little bit of an egregious penalty called on Schneider that I didn't necessarily agree with, that seemed to really change the tide of the game, unfortunately, as Winnipeg scores in the ensuing power play. But it was basically shaping up to be a goalie duel with Hellebuck and Igor. Hellebuck being the better goaltender on this night. God, he's so big. There's not a lot of net to shoot at. I mean, Igor gets beat by, you know, a broken play, you know, with basically a failure to stop a cross crease pass. And then a kind of a wonky changeup on a shot that kind of catches him off guard. And then he gets beat on a breakaway, which I guess you could argue he could have, but you could also argue that Chris Kreider, who's literally had the puck in the offensive zone and just gives up and just allows himself to be stripped by Mark Scheifele. Yeah, you could argue that it's basically his fault. And it was. I thought the Rangers, for not clearly not having their legs, I think the schedule really is getting to them. And they've even talked about it, that it's like, you know, I think Jimmy Vesey alluded to the fact that it's like, it's just kind of about trying to keep yourself ready and fresh. And it's a challenge this time of year, and especially with the schedule they've had. But, you know, they feel like they're, all things considered, they're doing a great job with that. But it just seemed like the Jets, who I think are coming off of a little bit of a down streak, I think they had lost three of their last five or something of that nature, were basically looking to put on a good performance. And they knew they were coming in against a good team in the New York Rangers. Rangers actually outshot and outchanced them, but Hellebuck loomed large and came in clutch. But like I mentioned, they get a Wennberg goal off of a broken play, and with the goaltender pulled, Lafreniere also off of a broken play, you know, shot on net, is able to put one in. So, yeah, like I had mentioned before, those contributions from throughout the lineup has really served them well this year. But I did want to talk about the lack of the elephant in the room, or on the ice, I should say. Matt Rempe's suspension was up, so he technically could have played in that game. But coming off of a really good performance, Peter Laviolette decides to let Brodzinski essentially get another game. And he says that, you know, that the team had played well in their victory over the Islanders, and that especially Brodzinski. So you want to give him another game, but said they'd be using all players down the stretch, which, you know, they're going to have to start sitting people, guys, because the Rangers are nearly a lock to make the playoffs at this point. If they're not already, they might be, I don't know, but they're going to have to start sitting guys to rest them. And I'm sure they will, because I think coming off of two seasons ago, they're probably still a little shell shocked from how badly they ran out of gas in that series against the Tampa Bay Lightning. But my feeling at the time watching the game was that Rempe probably would have been better served, just because Winnipeg is a big physical team, and we're starting to, you know, it wasn't too egregious, but they were basically trying to use their bigger, faster players to try to overwhelm the Rangers and swarm them, especially in the corners, and try to break them down the cycle. And I think just having that disruptive presence, or je ne sais quoi, whatever you want to call it, that Matt Rempe has when he steps on the ice, could have definitely have possibly dissuade or distract and just essentially give the players in the Jets pause. But that's not how it played out, and you can't really go back and rewind it. I don't necessarily know if it was the wrong choice on Peter Laviolette's part. At the time, though, the Garden did get a "We Want Rempe" chant going. Clearly, they love what he's brought to this team so far. Obviously the Molotov cocktail type effect of his play aside, in that it can go either way. You can go for the team or against the team, depending on which side of the edge he's playing on. But I would imagine we shall see him in the lineup against the Boston Bruins on Thursday. He was asked about the hit that got him suspended on this morning by the Rangers beat reporters. And he basically said, you know, I'm not going to change anything about my game, but obviously you never want to see anyone hurt. It's a learning experience for me, and not going to change what I'm doing out there, but just have to make sure everything is above board and clean. I'm paraphrasing. It's not exactly what he said, but it's essentially what he said. He said, I just got to, on my end, make sure I'm playing hard but clean. And he says, I'm not going to change a thing, which is honestly how you have to play, because the second you play, if he needs to play the same way, except just not make bad hits. I don't know how else to say it. You can't really say it very eloquently, obviously, but it's the truth, because he is not effective. I mean, his superpower, which players around this league are dying to have, is there's very few of them that the second they are on the ice, I've said this before, the temperature of the game changes. It's just everyone's, the hair on the back of their necks go up. They're all of a sudden aware that there's a big guy on the ice. And just that second of pause or hesitation or awareness or whatever you want to call it, it causes you to do things out of rhythm, even if you don't know it. You know what I mean? So he's made such a profound impact on this team in such a short period of time that he's got to keep doing what he's doing. He just has to make sure it's above board and it's not borderline or dangerous. You know what I mean? Play physical, play heavy, but, you know, arms tucked in. If it's if you have the green light, there are players there, they have the puck, you don't see numbers, just, you know, you want to go through them. You don't want to obviously catch them in a weird spot or bent over this or that. You know what I mean? So, but I think he knows that. And I think he's probably had ad nauseum talks with the Rangers coaching staff about how to maximize his effectiveness. And I expect him to be back in the lineup and continue to do that, because there's still people around the league, or at least fans, who still think this kid is a flash in the pan, despite not having watched him play. And even if he doesn't finish out or doesn't end up playing for the Rangers in the playoffs or down the stretch, they're going to need him to collect points when they're resting players. And he's just has the comportment and temperament and attitude to help them basically turn games in which they need a spark on its head. So hopefully he continues to do that. And honestly, like everyone else, I'm still excited by the Matt Rempe show, and hopefully we get a little bit more of it in Boston. We know hockey games move fast, but with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app with code THPN. New customers bet just $5 on the NHL and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN. The crown is yours. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NEW-YORK or text HOPE-NEW-YORK 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for a gambling problem by calling 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. The NHL and NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2024, all rights reserved. The NHL had its Board of Governors meeting over the weekend, and we're already starting to get some drips and drabs from various hockey pundits and beat writers about proposed rule changes that we might see next season. I think the most notable so far is essentially making things such as puck over the glass or high sticking penalties reviewable by a coach's challenge, which I think is a good idea, because obviously as sensitive as people are to making everything reviewable and the time it takes and yada, 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 I would be apoplectic if my team lost a playoff game because they gave up a power play goal after getting called for a high-sticking penalty when it turned out it was someone on the other team that accidentally high-sticked their own teammate and it got falsely attributed to a player on my team, I would be beside myself. So having that be reviewable is good. Or same thing with puck over the glass, obviously. If it does get deflected, or sometimes it gets shoveled and you think it's a player, but it right as it comes off their stick, it immediately hits another person's stick and then goes out and up, and you just don't catch it because there's kind of stick on stick contact at the time of doing it. But, and it's a fast game. However, I believe, which I think is cool, is that if you make that challenge and they do take the video review and you are wrong, you are assessed an additional either delay of game penalty or high sticking or yada, yada, yada. So, yeah, basically 4 minutes instead of two. So, which is good, because if it's inconclusive, then you have to live to fight another day and really rely on teams having their video coaches and eyes in the sky doing their jobs. But yeah, obviously those are things that should be reviewable. Honestly, you know, that's, yes, you don't want to slow the game down with too many reviews, but that's the sort of thing that if you're getting hosed, you should be, that's easy to look up. You know what I mean? So yeah, that should be good. As I'm struggling to remember these on the fly, I am now remembering that Elliot Friedman basically had a whole Twitter thread where he listed everything. So I'm just going to pull it up and we're going to go through it really quick. All right. I already mentioned adding goalie to list of players who can get a penalty for intentionally dislodging the net. Like I said, on a faceoff after icing, now the defensive center gets a warning for a violation. But offensive center, if the offensive center gets tossed, there is an ask for an offensive center to get a warning as well. Am I saying this like a crazy person? I'm reading it as written. I'm assuming this is just to cut down on centers cheating off of icings, because then you have to blow the play dead if it's, you know, he cheats off the faceoff, and it just slows the game down. So that's what I'm going to chalk that up to. What else? If the goalie is cold by concussion, spotters, or the injury or replacement goalie gets to warm up, you know, gets to take some quick shots, which I think should happen. You know what I mean? That's not like a team decision, you know. New coaches challenge. Puck over the glass, which I had mentioned. Yeah. So if you are wrong, the challenge, it becomes a 5-on-3 if you lose the challenge. So like I mentioned before, but it's not 4 minutes, 5-on-3. If a player refuses to play the puck off high stick or hand pass, the non-offending team will get a face off one zone better than where the play occurs. Okay. So it's basically, yeah, trying to speed up the game and just, cut down on, yeah, basically just not wanting to touch the puck. And I think the last one Friedman had mentioned was, which was pretty, it seemed innocuous, but when you realize what happened, why it's not, players will not be able to have their legs over the bench while the puck is in play and they're not on the ice. And it will be a bench minor if it happens, or if repeated after receiving a warning, I guess. Recently, an official was cut because a player was basically had their leg over the boards, or they were swinging over the boards before a change, and he got cut. So you don't want that happening, especially with some of the gruesome cuts and skate blade injuries we've had in the last 2 years. So that's, you know, definitely makes a lot of sense. And I know at first you're like, well, why? That slowed the game down. But if it's a safety issue, and I get it. So just keeping this one short today, but I think I'd be remiss if I didn't mention, unfortunately, we had former NHLers pass away in the past few days. Konstantin Koltsov and former New York Ranger Chris Simon passed away in the last few days. Really sad. I'm not sure. I couldn't really find any details on Koltsov and what happened, but the family of Chris Simon is, you know, are basically saying he was suffering from the effects of CTE, and unfortunately ended up taking his own life, which is really sad and obviously continues to paint a huge blemish on the face of the league in terms of just how reticent they've been to admit the mistakes of their past in an effort to protect players who are former players, or hell, even current players. It's almost as if they don't want to admit any former misgivings or wrongdoings, but because they refuse to do so, they just have not done a full court press in terms of offering up essentially help for former NHLers who suffer from the effects of concussions and other head injuries and mental illness related to their time spent playing in the NHL. And it's just extremely sad and unfortunate. And it's for his family to come out and say this, it's tough. And I you would hope the NHL takes a hard look in the mirror, because as I'm now looking through all these articles, I'm now seeing that they are saying that Koltsov's death was also as a result of suicide, which is just, like I said, heartbreaking. And it's tough. I mean, you just never know how people are suffering, especially if that suffering is brought on or exacerbated by the effects of things like CTE, you know what I mean? So yeah, just obviously very sad. You have to hold out hope that the NHL will expand its reach in terms of former players who might need help, or just based on things they've, or injuries they've, injuries that they acquired in the NHL and just have led to health problems or quality of life issues for them once they leave the game, or hell, even when they're in the game. With what Philip Heel's gone through in his young career, you worry about his quality of life going forward because of things like this. You know what I mean? So yeah, just really sad. You pray for the families of both the players and significant others. And you just hope the NHL stops thinking about this from a litigious standpoint, which they're always going to, because their league commissioner is a former lawyer, and starts thinking of it as just decent human beings, because it's kind of, essentially, it's shameful just how little support they give for former players, especially when they're trying to distance themselves from escape blame for players suffering for CTE. Well, that's going to do it for this one, folks. I look forward to having James back with me for our next podcast. Hopefully the Rangers can keep going here with a pretty big weekend for them. I mean, they have, like I mentioned, you have the Bruins when you're listening to this tonight on Thursday. Then you have the Panthers on Saturday. So just two casual meetings with two of the best teams in the NHL right off the hop. But with it, you know, all the injuries the Rangers have. But listen, no one's going to cry for you, because every team in the NHL has had to go through this. And the Rangers so far have stood up to that adversity, where a lot of the other teams in the Metropolitan Division, hell, even some of the teams that are technically in the playoff picture because of a million loser points, are not. So it's basically, like I said at the top of the podcast, the Rangers only need to worry about what they can control. And that's it. Worry about the process. Just worry about doing your best to get 2 points. And if you don't get them at this point in the game, it's okay. It's understandable. Just try to be better every day. Just worry about the process. And then hopefully the results should ultimately just take care of themselves.
Thank you for listening to the Broadway Voice Podcast. Be sure to follow us on X at Broadway Voice Pod. And please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple, Spotify, SoundCloud, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network on Twitter at HockeyPodNet. New episodes every Monday and Thursday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.